Welcome to this episode of Miss Bossy Boots, inspiring leadership for women in business. My name is Stacey Morgan. I'm the principal of Port Macquarie Performing Arts, a dance school on the mid-north coast of New South Wales in Australia. And joining me is my co-host, Jane Hilsden. Jane is the managing director of Dragonfly Marketing, a marketing agency that helps small businesses grow. Lovely to see you, Jane. How you doing?
I'm well, thanks, Stace.
Today we're talking about sustainability in business. And we're not talking about environmentally sustainable business, which is, I'm sure, a topic that we're going to get to at some stage, but more about creating a business that is going to be there for the long haul.
Absolutely. This is such an important topic, Stace. I think, you know, both yourself and myself have started a business, and that's the exciting part. You know, Absolutely. You go in with your eyes closed about how this is going to unfold, but you don't care because you just think, I'm starting a business, this is so exciting, and you just get going with it.
Absolutely.
And you don't think, you know, about what's going to happen. Well, generally, you don't think, well, certainly in my case, I didn't think about how my business was going to look in 12 months or how it was going to look in 24 months. I just knew that this is exactly what I wanted to do, and so I just got started.
And I'm sure so many of our listeners are in exactly the same boat. Their businesses are either just starting or they're well established and they're thinking, oh, okay, here we go. Where are we going?
That's right. So I think there's a lot of people too that might have got to the point where they've started that business, the honeymoon's over, and now it's time to think about the hard decisions. And now it's time to make those hard decisions. You know, whether that be looking at hiring staff or if you've been working at home and looking at moving into a premise, you know, you'd have to start thinking about the finance that goes along with that. And so whether that's at a financial level or an operational level or a productivity level, it's really important at that stage to get things in place to make sure that this business is going to be, as you said, around for the long term. So today's guest, we have Glenn Marshall, who is the CEO of Port Macquarie X-Ray. I've had a few dealings with Glenn. We've had a few strategic conversations, and he's someone that has struck me as having an incredible head for numbers, an incredible perspective on growth, and a real discipline in how a business can grow. I'm really looking forward to finding out more about this, Stace.
Fabulous. Well, let's get started. Glenn Marshall from Port Macquarie X-Ray, it's so great to have you on the Miss Bossy Boots podcast. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Glenn, just so our listeners know a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Port Macquarie X-Ray, because we will have listeners that come from other regions than Port Macquarie, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role with Port Macquarie X-Ray?
Yeah, sure, Jane. I have quite a diverse portfolio of management over the last 20 years, but really interestingly, I've ended up in the medical fraternity or the medical world. I started off as a military officer in the Army. I did 15 years there. Then I went into running the old Flick pest control for Australia. Then I looked after female sanitary hygiene across Australia. Then I worked in the IT sector, and now I've ended up in the medical sector. So it's quite diverse. But at the end of the day, there's one underlying principle across all those businesses, and that is the fundamental of business, and that is the financials, so managing financials, managing people, and managing resources. So it doesn't really matter which industry you go into. It's if you can manage those, you'll do pretty well for yourself. Port Macquarie X-Ray is a very interesting business. It's a very small town. It's about 50 or 60,000 people here, but there was only one radiology clinic, and they had an absolute monopoly. And it was just one of 168 radiology clinics around Australia that they owned. Some very astute and visionary shareholders got together and thought, we can compete against this monopoly that's in Port Macquarie. So they created a premium radiological clinic, or in fact, they created a basic radiology clinic, but with really, really high-end equipment. And they just competed head-to-head with this giant company, this multinational company. And for 3 years, they really struggled. They competed and they survived, but that's really all they did was they survived. They didn't thrive. And that's why I was brought in only 9 months ago, was to transform it from where it is to where it needed to be.
Wow. And in fact, the words that you've put around that, Glenn, I think are really powerful, because I think there's so many business owners out there who are surviving and as opposed to thriving. And there might be some businesses that are just happy to survive. And then I think there's probably some other businesses that really want to thrive, but they don't understand how to get there. So if a business did want to if a person did want to build a financially sustainable business, what are some of the key points that they should focus on? Describe why they're so important in building a financially sustainable business.
Yeah, sure, Jane. The first thing any business really needs to do is it needs to identify why they're going into business and what they do differently to everyone else who's in the business or who they're going to be competing against. It doesn't matter whether you're the local pub down the road or you're a cafe owner or whether you're a radiological clinic. As I said, we just became another radiology clinic in town. So we struggled to compete because we didn't differentiate ourselves in the marketplace. So any business owner out there would know that they need to differentiate themselves, what makes them different to their competitors. And that's an ongoing challenge because understanding the changing market is the job of the business owner or the CEO or the general manager of the business. And it's a tough gig having to watch the market and constantly revitalize the business.
And what is it with the financials that people will really need to get their heads around? I mean, most people kind of go into a business and they do. They're technicians, they're good at what they do, and they just start. They're probably not paying a lot of attention to key numbers, and I would imagine there are some key numbers that you kind of have to get your head around. Mm-hmm. In your experience, what are the key numbers that business owners need to pay attention to, you know, not only in the first beginning stages of the business, but along the way, and particularly if they are looking to achieve some growth?
Yeah, gee, tough question, Jane. There's so many things that a business owner's got to look at. But to be honest, from the outset, they've got to price themselves strategically in the marketplace. You don't want to go in too cheap because then it's very difficult to raise prices in the marketplace. And if you can differentiate yourself well, then you can actually ask your own price. But for the majority of businesses out there who are going to compete on a regular basis, so cafes and pubs and restaurants and even service sector, they'll need to price themselves very, very efficiently within the business so they do compete. So the sort of things they need to look at are they need to get a head around their total costs, and that's where I've been able to make big changes in my current business is we didn't understand what our costs were. So if you can look at every single cost in your business and then you work out how many days in the year you're going to work, then you can very quickly work out what your daily revenue needs to be, what your income needs to be, and that'll achieve your break-even. So you might be living on two-minute noodles for a while, but if you can raise your daily income so your break-even is bigger, then you'll start to make profits. That's the easy part. The hardest part, to be honest, is the cash flow. If you haven't got good cash flow, if your customers or clients are delaying their payments by, you know, 60 or 90 days, you've got a lot of bills to pay. It's very, very it's very difficult, and most businesses struggle once they get to a certain point to pay their bills, and that's usually the undoing of a lot of businesses.
Yeah, that's really helpful. That's a great answer. Thank you, Glenn. One question that I had was, and I guess this is for the service providers, it's very easy to assume that you don't have costs. And actually, this is probably not a question, more as a response to that. You know, as a service provider, you assume that there are no costs. There's no products that you have to buy. There's no stock that you need to pre-order. So it's only when you actually start having to outlay for staff and offices and all the rest that actually starts to add up. So and having that understanding of cost, I think, is absolutely fundamental and something that's probably very easily ignored by a lot of people for a little while. Okay. Now, when I first started up, and I don't know, Stace, I'm not sure whether you did as well, but did you develop a business plan for your business?
There's no way that I would have developed a business plan if the bank didn't need one. You know what I mean? It was a case of I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I knew my why. I knew exactly why I wanted to open the business and what I wanted to achieve. But as far as putting that down on paper, those beginning months of trying to launch the business itself, where was I going to find the time to sit down for 3 hours? Yeah. But I found that once the bank requested it and it meant we're not going to be able to help you if you don't show us one, then it gave me the discipline to have to sit down and actually have to do it.
And do one.
Yeah.
And look, I did one, but I was really perfunctory in my efforts. I must say I think I printed a template off the web and I filled it in as best as I could. I probably lacked a little bit of understanding of where I wanted to take the business. I was just really eager to get going. Glenn, my question to you is, what is your opinion on developing a business plan?
The simple answer is it's absolutely imperative.
And we know that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But look, it all different businesses have different styles of business plans. I think the best way to do a business plan is to get, depending on how big the business is. So if we take it from a very small business that probably has 5 or 10 or 15 employees or even no employees as a service sector business, best thing is to get a couple of drinks around a whiteboard and a couple of your best friends and actually talk through each of the headings. And there's probably only about 10 headings that you need to go through. And if you try and do it on a Sunday afternoon after a busy week and spend 3 hours nutting it out, you'll get a 60% solution. But I assure you, mm-hmm. you get two or three of your best mates with a glass of wine, you'll actually have some really good feedback from them because they understand the market as a customer. And they'll often look at things totally different to what you do. But from a bigger or so a medium to large organisation, a business plan really is quite critical because it sets the framework for the following year or for the next 5 years. But you don't become a slave to the business plan. What it does is it sets your mind. The business plan is a method of thinking, if you like. It sets out certain headings to force you to think about certain things. And that's why I say don't become a slave to it, because the dynamics in the market change constantly. So it's not something you set up on a one Sunday afternoon and then forget about it for the next 3 years. I actually go back to my business plan every 3 months.
And I
just look at it. I don't do anything else other than just read through it, mm-hmm. because quite often I'll look and think, my marketing's not working. Why is my marketing, or why am I not getting certain people through the door? And I just go back and I look at it and I go, oh, that's why. I'm actually off target, or I'm off message.
Wow.
I sat down, you know, 6 months ago and I thought, this is the plan. One of the biggest components of a business plan is your strategic marketing plan. And so you put a lot of effort into that strategic marketing plan, but then you get caught up in the day-to-day activities and you're actually implementing this marketing plan. Then you meet with some really good salespeople from the local newspaper who sell you all this stuff that you don't actually need and you shouldn't have necessarily headed down that direction. But then you realize your marketing is not actually achieving a return on investment. You need to go back and have a look at your original business plan, which you did in the clear mind with no salespeople annoying you. And you'll find, I'm either on track or I'm not on track. And this is the reason why.
Yeah.
There's two reasons why people do business plans, because they've been told they have to do it from some person who's been in business previously, or
guilty.
or they're trying to raise funds, and there's no investor out there who will put money into a company unless a business plan has been either. And the business plan, as I said, doesn't need necessarily be too in-depth. You might have a vision for where you want to take your idea. You just need to be able to articulate it. Mm. And if you can articulate it and put it on paper, and then you can compare that. So the investor will want to see, and the bank will want to see, yeah, that's great. We can see where you're heading. But what else is happening in the marketplace that's going to compete with you, mm-hmm. and that's going to cause road bumps or road, what are mm-hmm. all those things called?
Roadblocks or
speed humps on your path to where you want to be. And that's the role of a bank or an investor, is to identify. And you look at Shark Tank on TV, mm-hmm. they come up with every possible negative mm-hmm. of the business, because they're trying to make sure that you actually have thought about this in detail.
Absolutely.
And you actually have contingency plans for when some of these things happen.
And from my observations as a marketing consultant, certainly I work with a lot of businesses who I see have not put that thought into the sustainability and some of those financial issues. You know, we know that the failure rates of small business are incredibly high. I wonder if people would have, A, put the forethought into the reality, the financial mm-hmm. reality of starting a business, A, would they have gone ahead with it? But B, is that a good thing? You know, like I think sometimes naivety and ignorance is bliss. You know, there's probably so many people who would not have got started if they'd scared themselves off with maybe a business plan that seemed bigger than they were prepared to handle at that stage. Glenn, you mentioned 10 points. There's about 10 points, you said, that need addressing in a business plan. Off the top of your head, what would they be? Given that you look at it every 3 months, I'm sure you'd be fairly familiar with them.
Yeah, love a challenge. Okay. Okay. The first thing I'd be doing is what is the vision? What do I have and what do I want to do with it? Where do I want to take it? So really it's just an opening statement. It could only be a paragraph. Some of the ones I've done are a page and a half long because they're so detailed as to why we're taking this business to market. And again, I'm drafting it for investors as well quite often. The next one would be, if I'm just going to reduce that 10 down to about 4. The next most important one would be it's a very cliche, but it's a SWOT analysis. So looking at the strengths and weaknesses of your business and your idea and then the opportunities and the threats. And what that does for you is it immediately identifies what you're good at, what you think you're good at, where your weaknesses are, and what I like about identifying the weaknesses for me in a medium-sized business is that identifies where I need to invest more money, and that might be into staff training. Mm-hmm. It might be into procuring more capital equipment because we have a weakness in this certain area, so we need to put some money aside in September this year in order to buy something in January next year so we can compete, so we can continue to diversify in the business and make sure that we're competing or we're ahead of the rest of the competitors. The opportunities and the threats are always a good one to do, and they're very difficult. Now, where is the market going to, and what opportunities does that raise for my business? And the threats are usually coming from one of two things, either the competitors or the government. The government often changes, particularly within Medicare. You talk about Medicare posing posing a threat. The big talk about Medicare at the moment is really a hindrance to us making informed decisions, being able to invest in the future because there's an air of hesitation. We just don't know what the government's going to be doing over the next 2 to 3 years. True. So we can't make big capital decisions. Mm-hmm. It's very frustrating. Yeah. So we've got the vision, then we've got the SWOT analysis. You really need to have a look at your competitors and what they're doing in the marketplace as a completely separate to the threats part. Mm-hmm. And then your marketing plan. Your marketing plan, and this is where you get your friends around, and you say, look, this is my plan for marketing, and they just laugh at you and go, no one's going to listen to that, or how are you going to sell it? Yeah. How do you sell this? You say you're trying to sell your dream because ultimately that's what you've got. You've got a dream to take this from where it is to where it needs to be or where you want it to be. How do I get there?
Yeah.
And quite often you're not the person to answer that question.
Yeah. And Glenn, I imagine that would be quite a confronting situation to put yourself in. I think if you're going to stand there and ask for real feedback, you really want to get that honest feedback and I think have a bit of a thick skin and not take it personally when a passionate idea that's been born in a shower session one morning is shot down by everybody in the room. Mm-hmm. So I think you do, but it's absolutely imperative to make sure that you don't shoot off on the wrong track.
Yeah.
Okay. So you briefly touched on your background before, but we know that you have worked in major organisations in the States and in Australia. What are some of the global issues that can affect organisations' ability to be sustainable? And I guess you've touched on probably a few of them when you're mentioning the opportunities and the threats. Mm. But what are some of the consistencies that you've seen in successful, sustainable businesses?
Yeah, this is always a difficult one because when people ask about global issues, there's never really, you know, something happening in India is going to be completely different to China or the United States. But I can tell you there's only a couple of things that transcend boundaries and cultures, and that is good management. If you've got effective management, that business will do well. And if you've got good financial control. So if you can manage the dollars and cents, then at least you know you're going to be able to eat tomorrow or you'll be able to pay your staff. But effective leadership is my it's my real passion. Making sure that your people who work for you are inspired to go to work every day, actually understand the vision of the business, because at the end of the day, you can't run every facet of your business. You need to get people in eventually if you can get it to where you want it to be. There's not many businesses out there that only want to just be a sole trader. Mm. So even if you aspire to be the best cafe in town, how do you get your employees to live that dream or feel it? And that's what you've really got to inspire. And that comes through from it's a leadership thing. You've got to lead from the front. You've got to inspire them. You've got to bring them on their journey, and you've got to demonstrate to them that this is where we want to be, and this is the plan, how we're going to get there. These are the milestones, but this is my vision in terms of where the business is going to go, and this is how it relates to your individual role in the business. If you can relate it back. So in the business I'm in at the moment, it's a small to medium business. It's only got 21 employees, but every single employee understands their individual role and how they relate to us achieving our end state. And they live that in everything they do every day. So I walk into an office, and an X-ray room, if you like, and the staff immediately know that what I'm looking for. I want to know, how many patients have they seen today? Have the patients been happy? Have they walked them out to the door? Have they given just that little bit extra patient care? So yeah, the two things from a sustainable business perspective: if you're not making money, you don't have a viable business. And I think the best way to make money is through really effective leadership. Manage your people, and your people, if they understand the business, and if they understand, and I just don't understand, I don't mean just coming to work every day. If they understand where the business wants to be, and they understand how to get there, and they understand how that relates to their individual job on a daily basis, then you'll actually be able to, you'll see vast improvement. Mm. And that transcends boundaries and cultures. So as an example of getting the staff on board in terms of understanding why we're making certain decisions in the business, all 21 of my staff at Port Macquarie X-Ray, we have a monthly meeting, and we actually go through and we look at the profit and loss sheet for the month. So the month prior, so our accountant sends it through, and we go through every single line item, and we can look at, how much do we spend on, this type of medicine, or how many needles did we use, and are we using the right type of needles? And we actually use more expensive needles because it gives better patient care. So we understand that, and therefore people see us spending money in certain areas, and they understand the reason behind it, and they see us cutting costs in other areas because they don't actually relate to patient care or to OH&S or to our premium service that we offer. So then suddenly the staff, because they understand why we're making certain decisions, why we're making financial decisions or manpower decisions or even equipment purchasing decisions, I don't need to do everything myself. They can suddenly go, I'll make these decisions. And 99 times out of 100, they'll be right. Yeah. Because they understand the broader strategic objective.
Yeah.
And that's so interesting, Glenn, because I know there will be business owners listening who are very hesitant to share that, that financial information, that normally confidential information,
yeah,
with their staff. But you've made it so clear in that if they're going to be part of your vision and be, living it and breathing it every day for you and taking it out face to face with the customers, it's really important that they have that much information behind their belt so they know why you do things.
Yeah, that's right. The only line item we don't show them is salaries. So no one's aware of, what everyone's earning, and frankly, it's no one's business. They see it as a line item, and that is a single line item with everyone's salaries all combined. But at the end of the day, what they see, or at each of these meetings, what they see is how much we're spending for the last 3 months on something, and then we've made a concerted effort to change, and then at the end of the month they can actually say, look at this, we've actually saved this much money. And what we do is we say, well, what are we going to do with that money? It's either going to go to shareholders, or we might invest it in more staff training, which is what we're doing this month actually. All the staff are receiving a couple of hours worth of specialist training from an outside provider. Just opening the books makes it so much easier to implement change. People hate change. It's just the way it is. But if they understand why change is occurring, and they can understand, okay, I can see where we're heading, and I can see if I accept this little bit of change, I can see the benefit to the business, and I can see it's not actually that bad a change. And that's what it's all about. It's all about open communication. And different businesses will choose to communicate different things. But for me, I have nothing. I don't hide anything in the business because, frankly, I can't implement anything in the business without my staff doing it.
Awesome. Love it. Glenn, this has just been awesome and such a lovely insight into a business that I would normally think would be quite square and quite, you're really thinking outside the square, and obviously that's from all the experience that you've had. For our listeners, do you have anything that they can take away that's really specific that they can go and implement immediately? If you had one piece of advice to offload and say, go and do this, this will really help you and help your bottom line and help your business. Have you got one thing that you can send our listeners out there into the big wide world with?
Geez, Stace, nothing like being put under pressure. In all honesty, I think it'd be the business plan. I think if everyone went back to square one and reviewed where they currently are, because they may have started heading in the wrong direction. I think if you get a few of your closest friends around, you sponsor the night with a bit of alcohol and maybe some, you know, chicken wings. The feedback you'll get from your friends, and hopefully the direction that you'll take your business on will be just slightly askew or slightly different to where you maybe are at the moment, and that could be all it takes to transcend your business to where it needs to be.
Fantastic. Glenn Marshall from Port Macquarie X-Ray, thank you so much for joining us on Miss Bossy Boots.
Thanks very much. Love being here.
How good was that?
Stace, that was amazing. I got so much out of that, so much gold.
There was actually a moment where I went to reach for a notepad, but I realised I didn't have one in front of me and I couldn't make too much noise, otherwise I would have distracted him. It was, yeah, really, really good.
Yes, I think this is going to be one of those episodes that I go back to and listen to several times.
Absolutely. I hope all our listeners were listening with a notepad, and if you happen to be running or driving or something else, make sure you go back and have another listen. And we'll have lots of podcast episodes for you to go back and listen to very soon. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, and please make sure you leave us a rating or a review so that you can help us share this podcast with as many business owners and leaders as possible. Thanks so much, Jane.
Thanks, Stace. I so enjoyed it. I can't wait to continue this journey.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.